Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hello and welcome to At the Organ. We have a short show today, but it's all about Georg Philipp Telemann and some other composers who all have important dates that fall on this week. Stay tuned. Today is June 24th, 2012. Tomorrow, the 25th, will mark 245 years since the death of Georg Philipp Telemann in Hamburg, Germany. Telemann was born in 1681 in Magdeburg, in what is today Germany. Born into a musical and religious family, it took just 2 weeks of keyboard lessons as a child before Telemann was inspired to teach himself music and to play several instruments and to start composing. He began with arias, motets, and instrumental works, but by age 12 he had completed his first opera. His family was not in favor of him becoming a musician and took away his instruments and forbade him from composing. Telemann continued his musical study in secret. His mother sent him away to a boarding school, hoping that he would find and choose a different path. The head of the boarding school, however, recognized young Georg's talents and began teaching him music theory. There, in the town of Zellerfield, Telemann continued composing and playing and became a regular composer for the church choir and the town band. After school, he moved to Hildesheim and continued his education at the Gymnasium Andreanum, a school that still exists today. He traveled from there a lot and was able to hear the music of composers such as Antonio Caldara, Arcangelo Corelli, and Johann Rosemuller, all who had an influence on the young Telemann. In addition to composing, he continued to practice multiple instruments and became adept at the flute, oboe, viola da gamba, the double bass, and the trombone. Now, his mother wasn't completely out of the picture at this point. After graduating in Hildesheim, Georg Philipp left to study law at the Leipzig University at her insistence. That was his explanation at the time. However, in an autobiography written years later, he said himself that he wanted a university education. Whatever the case, it didn't happen. A roommate discovered some of his music, had it performed, and it made such an impression that the mayor of Leipzig came to find Telemann and asked him to write music for the two primary churches in town. So that was the start of his very busy musical career in Leipzig. He founded a student ensemble, became director of the opera house, where he also employed a number of students, and eventually was appointed organist and music director of the new church, where he played the organ only once, and then proceeded to delegate his duties to his students. There in Leipzig, he met with Johann Kuhnau and studied his music. Kuhnau was a city director of music at the time. Telemann learned a lot from him, especially counterpoint, he later tells us. However, Kuhnau was not as appreciative of Telemann's works. Telemann was keeping student musicians very busy, taking this valuable resource away from Kuhnau. Kuhnau also objected to how much opera work the young musicians were doing, worried that it was keeping them from their church music duties. Despite Kuhnau's complaints to the city council, in the end, nothing really happened. In 1707, Telemann became a court composer in Eisenach and continued to take on more responsibilities and more commissions. After 14 years, he was invited to come to Hamburg as cantor of the Latin school there, as well as music director for five churches. And it was in Hamburg he remained for the rest of his life. Telemann went on to become one of the most prolific, if not the most prolific, composer of the 18th century, with more than 3,000 titles to his credit, and the exact number is just an estimate that musicologists came up with after attempting to create a complete catalog in the 1980s and 90s. His influences were wide-ranging, and he influenced many composers, including the likes of Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frideric Handel, who are known to have studied his works. Not only was he popular in Germany, but the rest of Europe as well. orders for his music came in from all over the continent. His fame lasted long after his death, up until the early 19th century when his popularity suddenly ended. Critics suddenly appeared who thought his music was more about quantity than quality. With a revival of Johann Sebastian Bach's music in the middle 19th century, people were comparing the two composers and found Telemann's compositions lacking in quality and religious fervor. This may not all be accurate, as Philipp Spitta and Albert Schweitzer both criticized cantatas of Telemann's while commending ones written by Bach, only to have it realized by later research that those Bach cantatas they were praising were in fact written by Telemann. Finally, in the 20th century, recognition of Georg Philipp Telemann's creativity was being re-recognized with the new publications of his works in the 1950s. One aspect of Telemann's life that I find particularly interesting is how during his life he managed to become one of the most wealthy and powerful musicians of the time. This wasn't due just to his vast talent, but his business acumen and also a very warm and friendly personality. He also gained exclusive publishing rights for his own compositions, setting one of the most early precedents of music as intellectual property of a composer. While we're here today, I want to point out that today, the 24th, is the birthday of another German composer, Hugo Dissler, born on this date in 1908. We have plans for a show later this year about Dissler, including an interview with one of his students. Also this week, Thursday the 28th, will be the 280th birthday of French composer and organist Jean-Jacques Beauvillet Charpentier. Now that's not the Charpentier of the Te Deum fame, he was born 90 years earlier. Jean-Jacques was organist of Notre Dame from 1783 to 1793. Thank you. Friday, June 28th, will be the 268th anniversary of the death of another French composer, André Campra. Born in 1660, Campra is mostly remembered for his opera music and as a creator of the opera ballet genre. He did write three books of cantatas and some religious music, including a requiem. Almost 100 years before Beauvallet Charpentier, Campra was music director at Notre Dame, starting in 1694. He did the unthinkable and brought violins in to help provide music for services. Violins were street instruments then, not to be brought into a house of worship. Perhaps that is one reason why he gave up his post at Notre Dame just 6 years later. Chances are more likely, though, that it's because he was more successful as a producer of theater works. His first works were published under his brother's name in order to protect his church job. After a successful run in the theater, he did return to the church in 1720. He was a critical success, but not a financial one. He finished out his career at the Royal Chapel in Versailles, and also as the Inspector General at the Royal Academy of Music. That's all we have this week, so thanks for joining me. At the Organ is made possible by Pro Organo Records, where the organ lives. You can view their extensive catalog of organ recordings at proorgano.com. I'm Brent Johnson, and I'll meet you here next week at the Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com, or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.